May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's a great prayer, actually. My strength and my redeemer. The word redeemer means my liberator. Isn't that cool? That you carry a liberator in your heart all the time? The baseline for us around here, of everything that we talk about in the Christian life, is that Jesus Christ has come to live inside of us so he can literally live his life through us. That our identity is people in Christ, and because we're in Christ, Christ is in us. And so to discover how to live the Christian life and what the Christian life should look like, one of the smartest things that we should do is study the life of Christ in Scripture so that we have some sense of his ways, that we can anticipate him living out through us. And we're really the body of Christ. I think we're coming to a place where it's time for the body of Christ to start cooperating with the life of Christ that's inside his body. This is verse 32 of Acts chapter 9. Now it came about that as Peter was traveling through all those parts, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years. He was paralyzed. I think most of the time when people look at that scripture, they interpret that to mean, and there he found this man who'd been bedridden, paralyzed for 8 years, is that he happened upon him, or he discovered him in his going. But the way this is written is kind of like the same words used in Luke 4 when it says Jesus opened the Bible, he's opened the scriptures, and found the place it talked about being anointed. It's also 2 Timothy, there's a place where Paul's writing that someone had come to Rome and they had aggressively found him. So I would like to think this isn't just that Peter happened upon this man. He was looking for somebody to impact. He was looking for the opportunity to change a person's life because he was in Christ. And so he's looking for someone and he found someone. And the result is, it says, after this man being bedridden for 8 years, that Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And immediately he arose. Look at the consequence of this. And all, not some, but all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they all turned to the Lord. Now here is a man, Peter. If you know anything about his history, he was a person just like us. Peter had his ups and he had his downs. But Peter was a carrier of the life of Christ. And he's simply in participation and cooperation with the life that Jesus lives, went looking for an opportunity to manifest the kingdom of God in a person's life. And we pray that prayer all the time, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a great prayer to pray, but it's a prayer that's supposed to we should therefore be anticipating the opportunity to manifest and enforce the will of God in heaven on earth. And the result of that, this was one man. People from two towns, everybody turned to the Lord. I've just been thinking about this a lot for us, for me, for Christians here. Because see, this is normal Christianity. This isn't the super deluxe special brand model. This is just normal Christianity. I'll give you an example would be Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, they had a little dilemma because there were Jews who'd come to Christ and then Greeks who'd come to Christ. And it seemed like the women there who had been Greeks that had come to Christ, they were kind of being left out at the fellowship dinner. They were being served last. And so the apostles got drawn into this conflict and they said, look, our calling is to spend time in the Word and prayer. Why don't we pick some guys, and they'll be in charge of making sure people aren't squabbling at the table. They'll be in charge of serving. It's where the word people get the idea where the first deacons came from. So it said, so we're going to look for men who are filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. Wow, you mean that if we're going to find somebody to do children's church, we shouldn't just throw a body in there? We should find somebody filled with the Holy Spirit and faith, or somebody who's going to be in charge of the kitchen duty or whatever. And Stephen was not an apostle. He was just a guy. And right after that, it talks about how he moved in extraordinary signs and wonders. How come? But that's what Christians do. You know, if you wind Jesus up and let him loose and he lives inside of you, that's just what he does. It's part of the deal. It's part of the package. But we think of it as such an extraordinary exception to the norm. Where do we get that? And it's that mindset that creates an atmosphere and a culture that makes it very difficult. Remember Jesus said in his own hometown, he only do a few small things? Because they were skeptical. They had reasoned away how this could possibly be. But Peter prayed for this man. This man's healed. And he spoke a command to him. He said, Jesus Christ heals you. That's interesting to me. Because you see, Peter understood. He was a carrier of Christ. And he said, Jesus Christ heals you. He just said, your own Jesus. But he was the body through which Jesus would do it. So Jesus needed his lips to say it. So go get him, Jesus. What is that equivalent to? That's equivalent to praying for somebody in the name of Jesus. When you pray for somebody in the name of Jesus, you're just saying, go get them, Jesus. Because the name represents who they are and all they are and all they have. You read this. But what happens to us, too, as believers, we think, well, no, you just don't understand. You're talking about Peter. Yeah, I know Peter. I mean, you're talking about the Apostle Peter. You mean the one that denied Christ 3 times and cursed out loud in front of everybody? That Peter? The one who cut the guy's ear off? That Peter? The one who sunk while he was walking in the water, that Peter? Oh, okay. That just want to make sure you're thinking about the same Peter I'm thinking about. When they healed the man by the gate in Acts chapter 3, this man who's begging for money, and they stop and been lame from his mother's womb, so all of his life by the gate beautiful, the temple. Peter says, but silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. So the guy gets up and walks. There's this big deal. They want to make heroes out of Peter and John. It bothers Peter and John. Peter and John, they're clinging to their feet. They say in verse 12, Peter saw this. He replied to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you marvel at this? You know that Jesus did this before. Why do you marvel at this? Why do you gaze at us as if, but here's the thing, why do you gaze at us as if it were by our power or by our piety that we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. This is all about Jesus. When I go and ask him more about it, he said, well, on the basis of faith in his name of Jesus has healed this man, yada, yada. But why didn't he pray in Jesus' name in Acts 9? Because it's the same thing. To pray in Jesus' name is to say, I'm looking to you to do this, Jesus. Jesus Christ is going to heal you. When he was saying that to Ananias, Jesus Christ is going to heal you through me. It's not by my piety. See, this is one of the things we got to get liberated from. I don't know if I'm spiritual enough, really. It's not got anything to do with how spiritual you are or how much power you carry. You carry the one who's spiritual and powerful enough to do it. And when you pray in Jesus' name or just say, Jesus Christ heals you, it's the same thing. You're just saying, it's Jesus is going to do this. And I'm a carrier of Jesus. Now, if that changed, 2 whole towns, everybody in those towns gave their life to Jesus. Because Peter simply let Jesus, wound Jesus up, let Jesus be Jesus through him. And it had nothing to do with his piety or how much power he had. So it's not about how much quality or qualification you carry. If you're a carrier of Jesus, you qualify. If that could cause 2 whole towns to come to Christ, I wonder if it would happen in your office where 20 people work. If you just wound Jesus up and let Jesus do something like Jesus does, you think you would impact 20 people? See, I'm looking for the day that a courtroom, a spirit-filled lawyer will stand up and start talking to him and say, look, I know what's going on here, and start revealing the secrets of somebody's heart. And that person starts to repent, and the power of God falls in a courtroom. Why can't that happen? That's just the kind of stuff Jesus does. Why is it in the book of Acts? Why are these stories there? Because God wanted us to see what normal Christians look like. I think God's adjusting his church. We're moving out of the never-never land, things we never expect God to do, into the always-always lands. Not because we're spiritual or because we have power, because we carry the one who is spiritual enough, and God will glorify him. It's not about glorifying you. Because Jesus is spiritual enough, he's powerful enough, he'll glorify him. But what if Peter had been too scared to just say the words? But here's the deal. He found the man because he was looking for somebody to release Jesus on. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.